Mahler did not live to hear Das Lied von der Erde performed. It was premiered 7 months after his death in Munich under the baton of Bruno Walter. Of Das Lied, Bruno Walter wrote, and I quote, "Every note he writes speaks only of himself. Every word he sets to music, though it may have been written 1,000 years ago, expresses himself. Das Lied von der Erde is the most personal utterance in Mahler's creative work, and perhaps in all of music," unquote. Arnold Schoenberg's students, Anton Webern and Alban Berg, traveled to Munich to hear the premiere. On November 23, 1911, Webern wrote to Berg, and I quote, "What you write about Das Lied von der Erde is wonderful. As I told you, it is like the processional of life, or better yet, of that which has been experienced before the soul of the dying. The work of art is intensified. That which is merely real evaporates, but the idea remains. That is what these songs are like," unquote. Mahler in America, part two. Mahler's second season with the Metropolitan Opera from January to April of 1909 was a rousing success. He had only to conduct 3 different operas for a total of 19 performances. He was paid a king's ransom and acclaimed this second season like a conquering hero. If these 2 seasons with the Met had been the entirety of Mahler's American adventure, his stay would have been remembered as one of unsurpassed brilliance. But Mahler got an offer he thought he couldn't refuse. He should have refused it, but he didn't. A committee of very wealthy ladies got together and pooled their considerable resources with the aim of revamping the Philharmonic Society into a new orchestral organization to be called the New York Philharmonic, with the expressed aim of hiring, oh, that wonderful, that darling Mr. Mahler to be its conductor. Mahler was intrigued, and he accepted the position. His acceptance of the position turned out to be a mistake. Mahler had no way of knowing, well, actually, he should have known, having been the victim of endless cabals and politics back in Vienna, that by creating the New York Philharmonic, the rich ladies of the orchestra committee were tearing to shreds the New York musical scene. They created a virtual civil war between musicians, torn between the old and the new orchestras. They split public and press opinion right down the middle and insulted every resonant American conductor by turning the reins of their new orchestra over to Gustav Mahler, who, as far as American audiences were concerned, was an opera conductor, not an orchestra conductor. The long story short, the season, which began in November of 1909, was a bust, critically and financially. After but a few months, the New York Philharmonic was $90,000, that's 1910 dollars, $90,000 in the red. Nevertheless, Mahler persevered. He signed on for another longer season, for which he returned to New York in October of 1910. By the time he returned to Europe in April of 1911, after this second season at the helm of the New York Philharmonic, he was mortally ill and had only weeks to live. Mahler's Symphony No. 9, completed in March of 1910 while in New York, is yet another Mahler masterwork we will but touch on. It is filled with premonitions and contemplations of death. Not just anyone's death. No, the work is quite personal. In it, Mahler contemplates his own death. The first movement begins with an introduction that depicts Mahler's heartbeat, followed by the fluttering sound, or so he described it, of his leaking heart valves. Let me demonstrate this at the piano and point out the leaking heart valves. The movement begins with Mahler's heartbeat. That vague echo we hear after each 2 heartbeats is the echo that Mahler thought he heard in his own heart. Then we hear a brief tune, and now the fluttering of his leaking valves. Let's listen to this introduction and be aware of how personalized this music truly is.